how to be really, you know, disturbed and try to do something like live radio without, you know, ending up screaming. I mean, it's, you know, and welcome everybody to Voice of the People Radio on United Public Radio Network. Really, you know, you look at something that you see in the news, and it's almost like you have to shake your head with disbelief. I mean, and you don't want to come off, you know, screaming into your microphone. You really, what good's it going to do when you hear news about, you know, what's been going on out in California? I mean, it's very, very disturbing. The California mother of 13 children who were allegedly tortured, starved, or shackled inside what's being called the House of Horrors was apparently perplexed when investigators paid a visit to their home this week, officials said. Well, Tuesday. So, if you hadn't heard about this, it's quite an eye opener. I mean, here we are going into the third week of 2018. You have massive amounts of bad weather, including, you know, on the East Coast, up, you know, into, of course, into the states bordering Canada, and it's really, really cold in some places. Something happens in California and catches the nation's attention during the middle of, you know, what's been called kind of a cold snap. You know, has been sarcastically referred to as, you know, the results of global warming by people, you know. But the California mother of 13 children who were allegedly tortured, starved, or shackled inside a house of horrors was perplexed when investigators paid a visit to their home this week, officials said Tuesday. Officials said that Louise Turpin, the 49-year-old biological mother of all 13 children, appeared baffled about why authorities were inside her Paris, California home. And we're going to spell that out for you, for those of you who have not seen this on a news broadcast or have not read about it on the internet or in a newspaper yet. Paris is spelled P-E-R-R-I-S. It's Paris with an E-P-E-R-R-I-S, California, home where they allegedly found at least three children bound to their beds with chains and padlocks on Sunday. The mother was perplexed as to why we were at that residence, said Captain Greg Fellows of the Riverside County Sheriff's Department at a news conference. Authorities also found the couple's 13 children between the ages of 2 and 29 living in dark and foul-smelling conditions after their 17-year-old daughter escaped and called 911. Claiming her parents were holding her siblings captive. The children all appeared malnourished and very dirty, according to the Riverside County Sheriff's Department in a news release. I would call it torture, Mr. Fellows said on Tuesday, calling the living conditions horrific. Now, at the present time, it's unclear how long the children were forced to live under those conditions, but officials said they believe it was for a prolonged period of time. Officials said the family had lived in Paris, California since 2014, and their children were homeschooled. The family may previously have lived in the state of Texas. The county's Department of Public Social Services said it would be fighting in court to gain oversight of at least the younger children. Of the 13 siblings involved, 7 are legally adults. Officials said the adults are recovering together at a hospital where they are hopeful that life will get better. The sheriff's office had no previous calls to the Turpin's home before Sunday. Authorities said there are so far no indications that any of the children were sexually abused or that the parents suffered from any mental illnesses. Louise Turpin and her 57-year-old husband, David Turpin, could face torture and child endangerment charges. They are both being held on $9 million bail. It's unclear if attorneys are representing either of them at the time of this news report. Either, you know, I don't know. But earlier Tuesday, today. David Turpin's mother, Betty Turpin, told Time magazine she was in total shock to learn of her son's arrest. She defended his character as a very likable person and said she was waiting for more evidence in the case. David Turpin's mother, Betty Turpin, said, "We don't believe anything until we find definite proof." You know, sure. The Southern California home, where authorities say two parents tortured their 13 children, had doubled as a private school for the siblings, but faced no government oversight and was never inspected by education officials. David Turpin had been homeschooling his children at the residence, which he called the Sandcastle Day School. In the 2016 to 2017 school year, it had an enrollment of six, with one student each in the 5th, 6th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 12th grades. There was no indication anyone other than his children were enrolled at this home school, authorities have said. The authorities have also said they uncovered the abuse when a 17-year-old girl jumped out of a window, called 911, and led police to 12 siblings from 2 to 29 years old, all malnourished and some chained to furniture. David Turpin and his wife, Louise Ann Turpin, were being held on $9 million bail and could face torture and child endangerment charges. Susan Von Zabern, director of the County Social Service Department, said it was their first opportunity to intervene. Private schools in California are not licensed by the state education department, and no agency regulates or oversees them. The schools are only required to file an affidavit with the state each year that lists the number of students, staff members, and information about administrators. Quoting Bill Ainsworth, a spokesman for the California Department of Education, he said, "We are sickened by this tragedy and relieved that the children are now safe and authorities are investigating." Now, both full-time private schools must register in California. Full-time private schools must register with the state to record their students' exemption from mandatory attendance at public schools. But the education department lacks the authority to monitor, inspect, or oversee private schools, said Mr. Bill Ainsworth. They are, however, subject to an annual inspection by the state or local fire marshal. Representatives for the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, the Riverside County Fire Department, and the Paris, California Fire Department did not immediately say whether the Turpin's home was ever inspected. Private schools are generally regulated by parents who often sign contracts and review standards before enrolling their children, said Mr. Ron Reynolds, executive director of the California Association of Private School Organizations. Now, private school employees are required to report suspected child abuse to authorities. Asked whether the organization, comprised of 1,500 private schools in California, believes that oversight is sufficient, Mr. Reynolds said, "We always desire as our first priority safeguarding our children. We never resist or oppose legislation aimed at protecting students." But Mr. Reynolds questioned how it's possible to prevent parents who homeschool their children from injuring their kids in the privacy of their own homes. "Thank God this doesn't happen very often," he said. We would like to thank the Associated Press for information used in making an announcement about this on Voice of the People Radio. You're listening live to Voice of the People Radio on a Tuesday night edition here on United Public Radio Network. And just to remind everybody in the listening audience, you might be listening to us maybe even for the first time on a podcast with something like Podbean or SoundCloud, or even on a possible rerun, going through the motions with everything that's available. We can end up really soon on, something like TuneIn or iTunes, iHeartRadio, you know, those type of outlets. We're all over the place with our podcasting, and our shows are live during the week. Voice of the People being one of them. Voice of the People airs on UPRN, United Public Radio Network, from 10 to 11 p.m. on Tuesday nights, and we are also on Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, just so you know. You could catch us again with a two-hour show later in the week. Of course, the call-in number for the show, even if we don't take phone calls tonight, is area code 504-273-7379, but you can go ahead and try to call the station if you really want to get in on this, but I'm not exactly sure whether or not we're taking calls at the moment. But the station number for calls and during the live programming is 504-273-7379. You can check the schedule on uprntalkradio.com, find out what programming is on and when and who the hosts of the shows are and what the topics that the shows present are. But, you know, this has been, you know, Voice of the People. We're a political and current events news show. We have also done many, many author interviews with authors on a myriad of very varied subject matter, including the UFO and alien abduction phenomenon, lots of scientific topics, social issues, and politics, which is how the station is classified on paltalk.com. If you've ever been into the virtual chat room, if you haven't, you might want to check that out. In the social issues and politics area of Pal Talk, there is a virtual chat room for the United Public Radio Network as well. And you can hang out and talk to other listeners and text with other listeners while you're listening to our programs. But, you know, check that out. Get involved with discussing this. Something as reprehensible as this type of incident is, you know, really why the United Public Radio Network actually exists. These are the type of things that, you know, going back, and believe it or not, folks, we now have like 20-year history, the group of producers and people and station ownership for United Public Radio Network of engaging in a multimedia platform, including your local television and newspaper and radio station input, and from people we're watching on television or picking up from their different places around the world. And it's all kind of, you know, coalesced. It's evolved, and we look at something like this, and it shows us that while our use of technology for social interaction to a certain degree is technically more proficient, our actual social interaction with our fellow human beings sometimes has some very, very gaping holes in the way that our social system functions. And I'm talking about, you know, in the United States of America, particularly with the advent of what we do with radio and television and internet radio, in particular with United Public Radio Network and our Facebook presence and all of these other things. Sometimes, you know, we can be taken in by something as well, and it all depends on what type of image is being produced. Okay, and you know, this is a very important thing, because it has been talked about that you know, the alleged abusers in this case at this point, and we always, you know, have to say alleged until there's a conviction in a court of law, because everyone is presumed innocent until proven guilty in the United States of America. It's one of the beauties of our system. Just like a tragedy like this is obviously a failing of our system. You know, and it's just so allegedly, you know, this level of abuse was carried out, and there was some kind of information put out by the alleged perpetrators, in that it was portrayed that they had a normal, family life. You know, I don't want to open up the station or, you know, or for any kind of, you know, libel at this point, but I'm going to say that it's probably most likely that there was, you know, social Facebook profiles and other sorts of things with the family members. Again, ranging from, you know, ranging all the way from small children all the way up to adults 29 years of age. Okay. You know, children from 2 to 29 years of age. Okay. These are all their children, all of their siblings. So the, all of the kids, you know, at least, you know, it, what I could expect, if there weren't any kids still in the home, I would be really surprised if it weren't all of their kids collectively as one group. But using social media to portray a situation like this as if there's nothing wrong, and that everyone has a normal, functional social family life, it just, I think, shows that how, as a society, we may seem to be connected to each other more quickly through the use of cell phones in particular, and internet technology, but how in reality we can be so far disconnected from a situation like this that the alleged perpetrators were able to get away with holding their, you know, minor and adult children captive in a home, chained to furniture, malnourished, et cetera, to the point that the parents are now possibly facing torture and child endangerment charges. The social media makes it possible with the technology for people to look at something, and it's why I read the bit that I did earlier, made it possible for them to say, look, there's nothing wrong. You know, we have our sandcastle private school, sandcastle day school, with our six kids are enrolled in the 5th, 6th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 12th grades. Everything's fine. There's, you know, pictures on social media websites and things being portrayed, and the reality of the situation at this point is that it was a false front. It was a use of you know, social media and people's perception of the reality of what was going on in a private home school, in a private home. What was being portrayed to others in our society, well, the image-based media that was being used to portray this image that everything was just fine, and the reality, if in fact, was, you know, not only just the idea that people, sometimes some people get the idea that somebody is representing themselves a little exaggeratedly online, that it's not exactly how they choose to portray themselves to the public, is just a little exaggerated, make themselves maybe feel a little better about themselves. However, you know, always some kind of image adjustment going on, because pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz, right? Except in this case, what was actually going on behind the curtain is that children from 2 to 29 years of age, some of whom were chained to furniture, were being abused, allegedly tortured, and I'm going to go as far as to say that within reason, the children were endangered. You know, I mean, the county saying that it was their first opportunity to intervene. This is methodical. You know, of course, you can talk about the criminality of all of it, but what I'm looking at is, you know, these homeschools in California, private schools in California, not licensed by the state education department. No agency regulates or oversees them. You know, perhaps, I mean, the schools, they have to file an affidavit with the state, okay? Perhaps one thing that will come out of this Turpin case is that in order to prevent something like this from happening in the future, it will be presented by a member of the California state legislature at some point in time in that legislature that will change this situation so that no longer will private or homeschool situations in California not required to be licensed by the State Department of Education, and that the Department of Education for the state of California would have to regulate and have an oversight for them beyond a possible annual fire inspection because of this very situation. Now, you know, whether or not there ends up being any documentation that the Paris, California Fire Department, or the Riverside County Fire Department, or the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection have adequately and in a timely basis complied with the state requirements for those fire inspections, whether we find that information out or not, should not impede anyone in California from making the motion to go ahead and make sure that something like this does not happen again. I mean, this may never happen again, but, you know, let's change the way that this functions so that it does not happen again. Let's make the law work for us in this case so that, you know, these people aren't using image-based media and placing a false image up there for the rest of society to take in and say, oh, you know, everything is just fine. Meanwhile, you know, one of the most reprehensible evil situations you could think of, a group of 12 or 13 children between the ages of 2 to adult children up to the age of 29 years old being held against their will, being starved, being handcuffed to furniture, and somehow, you know, one of the children, a 17-year-old girl, jumps out of a window in the house and calls 911 and leads the police to 12 siblings, you know, all malnourished. There was not, any differentiation here when the news came out for this, as they were all malnourished. You know, I don't know about the parents in this situation. I don't really care about the condition of the parents in this particular situation. I don't think that it's relevant. Sure that if they were in a really bad situation, they would probably have been reported as malnourished as well. I have a serious doubt in my mind that the parents appeared to have anything physically wrong with them whatsoever. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have been able to pull off whatever social media charade they were performing in order to keep from being investigated for as long as they have. You know, so whether we get some information in the future, find out whether or not this private home was ever inspected by the fire department, which is, you know, why the statement was made that it was the county's first opportunity to intervene in the situation. The county had absolutely no idea whatsoever that this was going on, according to the county making a statement like that. I mean, if it comes out that there is some culpability, that somebody in the county social service department had any inkling whatsoever that the situation was anything like this and chose to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to a situation like this, well, then I really would not want to be that person. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes if they're, you know, if it's, you know, if it's something like that, or, you know, because there's, you know, it's, you know, it's beyond being just morally reprehensible. There's liability and other things as well. Like I said, tonight's topic is, you know, absolutely 100% the choice of the host, station management, and the board operators, controllers in the studio, and everyone else, you are not responsible for the content of the Voice of the People radio tonight, or anything that might be said about this situation. It is just strictly, you know, me, my opinion on this. And that's pretty much it. Actually, you know, folks, the station doesn't ask us to cover anything in particular. We don't have a lot of times, any way to, you know, for the station to dictate what we're going to do. No, we would not do that. It wouldn't be the Voice of the People radio, and it definitely wouldn't be what you've come to know as, you know, public radio network. You know, the hosts are pretty much, you know, free range here. Really the only way you can kind of be functional in today's world. It's just very disturbing when things like this happen. And what happens is, you know, the media was used to whatever extent to cover, you know, by these people, to cover up, you know, what they were doing. You know, it is a crime. At this point, it's allegedly a crime. So we have to, you know, we have to have that caveat in there. You know, but eventually, what is likely going to come of this is that these parents are probably going to be spending a lot of their time in a California state mental institution, being properly evaluated. So that, you know, the psychiatrists, you know, kind of get, you know, not only information from the adult children and the children that are between the ages of 2 and up to legal age in this case, because that's a considerable group, 13 kids, you know. And I was told by somebody before getting into all of this too that they saw video on this, and the 29-year-old, possibly, you know, 29-year-old male child in this case looked like an 11, 12, 13-year-old boy. So this is, you know, this is definitely, a horrific crime. It's absolutely unreasonable for any, you know, for any person who cares about their children to see something like this. Is just, you know, it's beyond it's beyond anything you would think that can happen. I mean, you hear something as horrible as a family keeping a 2 or 3-year-old child in a wooden box made of plywood in their living room of all places. And it's not this particular family in this case. Okay, folks, I'm talking about something that I've heard about in the past. And you think that's, you know, that's disgusting. And then, you know, this comes along and you wonder if, you know, you don't know if anything like that was going on. But that's just, you know, something that you hear before. It's very, very bizarre. You know, people treat the children, you know, like they're less than human, that they're not deserving of food. You know, I mean, it's, you know, not just that they're not deserving of, you know, the latest toy, you know, or the idea that they don't have a cell phone of their own with unlimited texting and unlimited minutes and unlimited internet bandwidth or something that you would think, or that they couldn't have, you know, excuse me. You know, they couldn't have a party that they wanted or something like that. You know, no, these are kids that are being, they're literally being starved. You know, and my first reaction to this is, what's wrong with these people? I mean, seriously, what is wrong with these people? Allegedly. I mean, now, you know, we have to say things like that to protect the supposed innocence of The alleged criminal. No, but officials are focused on the starved and chained children's health after they're being rescued, and we're very, very thankful that they have been rescued. Very thankful that they've been rescued. It is just, it's so wrong on many, many levels, you know. And we could go on, we could wax about this. I'm sure that, you know, people wouldn't really have too much of a problem, you know, with us spending, you know, making an expose, you know, out of the whole thing. But we're not going to sit here and just play, you know, reruns of audio clips, stuff that you may or may not have heard on CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS. Just let's, you know, kind of react, you know, react to it. And you look, and I mean, it's just, it's being picked up, of course. Also, it's all over the world, you know. These people, it's they're not only making the, you know, Riverside County, California look bad, they make the rest of America look bad, you know. We have a president as controversial as he may be with a slogan like, you know, making America great again. Well, these people in particular, these alleged criminals that had 13 children starved and chained to their beds, and in some cases chained to the beds, they're making America look bad. And it's not again. Okay, they don't need the word again. They're just making America look bad. You know, continuing to make America look bad. No, just making America look bad. I guess we could say making America look bad still. You know, and as much as the president would like to have a campaign and an idyllic presidency where he could say "Make America Great Again," these people are definitely, you know, on the other side of that. They're not helping the cause. You know, if you would ask their kids, I'm sure they wouldn't. You know, there's no concept. You know, none whatsoever about, you know, an idea of what, you know, make America great again. These kids are just going to say, you know, we can eat. You know, we have food. Somebody's not going to take the food away. The adult children, obviously, have, you know, they've been hospitalized. At this point, of course, the other minor children have been removed from custody, but you just think about that. You know, it's like the president in this case, he would have to use a slogan to say, making America dinner again. You know, the 13 California siblings who police said were starved and chained to their beds by the parents rarely left their disheveled house, and when they did, they appeared small and pale and acted very strangely, according to the neighbors. David Allen Turpin, age 57, and Louise Ann Turpin, age 49, were arrested on Sunday and each charged with 9 counts of torture and 10 counts of child endangerment after a 17-year-old emaciated girl. Okay, starved, rack of bones, skeletonized, emaciated girl escaped the house in Paris, California, P-E-R-R-I-S, California, about 70 miles east of Los Angeles, and called police, according to the Riverside County Sheriff's Office on Monday. Police said they found several of the couple's 13 children, ranging in age from 2 to 29 years old, shackled to their beds with chains and padlocks in dark and foul-smelling surroundings. The victims appeared to be malnourished and very dirty. Kimberly Milligan, age 50, who lives across the street from the family, said she only saw the infant in the mother's arms and 3 other children since she moved in across the street 2 years ago, describing them as small and pale. Why don't we ever see the kids? Milligan said she asked herself. In hindsight, we would have never thought this, but there were red flags. You never don't hear or see 9 kids. 2 years ago, while walking around the neighborhood admiring Christmas lights and decorations, Ms. Milligan said she encountered three of the Turpin children and complimented them on the manger with a baby Jesus set up outside the house. She said the children froze as if by doing so they could become invisible. 20-year-olds never act like that, she said. They didn't want to have a social conversation. Nicole Gooding, age 35, who has lived in the neighborhood for 3 years, said the first time she saw the family was 2 months ago when the mother and children were cleaning up the yard that was full of weeds and overflowing trash cans. I had never seen them until that day. I had never seen them at all until that day, she said. The parents, who were scheduled to appear in court on Thursday, are being held on $9 million bail each, according to police. A police statement did not indicate the parents' motives, and a police spokesman said he had no further details. Six of the couple's children are minors, while the other seven are over the age of 18. Police are due to hold a news conference, of course, which was held this morning. Okay, so that's the end of that section there. And David and Louise Turpin appeared to have had marriage renewal ceremonies at least three times in 2011, 2013, and 2015 at an Elvis Presley-themed chapel in Las Vegas, Nevada, according to the chapel's YouTube page. One video shows the couple exchanging renewal vows in front of an Elvis impersonator. Another video showed 10 female children in matching purple plaid dresses walking down the aisle ahead of Louise toward David, who waited anxiously at the altar with two male children in suits. A third male child dressed in a suit appeared later in the video during various dance performances with the Elvis impersonator and the family. An Elvis Chapel representative did not immediately respond to a media request for comment. A joint Facebook page that appeared to have been created by the parents showed the couple at the same chapel dressed in wedding clothes surrounded by the 13 children. David Turpin's parents, of course, mentioned earlier, Betty and James Turpin of West Virginia, told ABC News that they were surprised and shocked by the allegations, saying they could not understand any of this. So there you go, folks. You know, it's unreal. It's totally unreal. And of course, you know, that's just, you know, some insight there. You know, and it's just insane. You know, again, thank you to everyone at the Associated Press, Reuters News, ABC, NBC, CBS News, Fox, everywhere that's reporting about this. It's just really sickening, you know, and it's not the end of it. I mean, this is going to be one of those things that is likely going to end up being a television movie of the week. You know, people will find it so unbelievable that, you know, this just can't be true. No. Facebook photos posted by David and Louise Turpin tell a happy tale of a large and smiling California family at Disneyland in Las Vegas, and even with an Elvis impersonator, while the couple renewed their wedding vows. The photos present a stark contrast to the squalor, filth, and chains authorities say they found this week at the family's Paris, California home. David Turpin, again, 57 years of age, and Louise Turpin, age 49, were being held Tuesday in lieu of $9 million bail each. To the news media, there is a Facebook page for one David Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Turpin, T-U-R-P-I-N, David Allen Turpin's Facebook page. Captain Greg Fellows with the Riverside County Sheriff's Department said the situation came to light when 17-year-old daughter grabbed a cell phone, leaped out a window, and fled the apparent house of horrors Early on Sunday, she called 911 claiming her 12 brothers and sisters were being held captive inside the Spanish-style one-story residence in a sprawling development of small, tidy homes. Mr. Fellows also said, "We do need to acknowledge the courage of that young girl who escaped from that location to get them the help that they so need," said earlier today. Fellows said responding deputies noticed the teen was malnourished and went to her home. They found 12 malnourished victims in filthy conditions and some shackled to furniture. It seemed the mother was perplexed as to why we were at the residence. Deputies initially believed all the victims were children, but it turned out they ranged in age from 2 to 29. Seven of them were 18 or over. Authorities fed the victims, and all were subsequently hospitalized. That led to the torture charges, he said. So if you can imagine being 17 years old and appearing to be a 10-year-old, being chained to a bed, being malnourished, I would call that torture. Mr. Fellows said the family has lived in Paris, California since 2014, and the children were homeschooled. State records listed David Turpin as principal of a school operated out of the home. The company apparently hailed from West Virginia and had lost a Texas farm to bankruptcy before moving to Paris, California, where they purchased their 2,623 square foot home for $310,000 in 2014. On Tuesday, three Volkswagen cars and a Chevrolet van were parked in the driveway. A holiday ornament was visible in the front window. Photos on a Facebook page entitled David-Louise Turpin show the couple renewing vows in Las Vegas on multiple occasions in the last several years. Some photos include the smiling children, the girls dressed in matching plaid dresses, the boys in matching suits and ties. Other photos show the family at Disneyland. Another, dated Christmas Eve 2015, shows a baby sitting on Santa's lap in front of a Christmas tree. "I have seen the Facebook posts like many of you have," Mr. Fellows said. "I can't tell you if something changed. I wish I could come to you with information to explain why this all happened." Neighbors in Paris, a diverse community of 70,000 people 70 miles east of Los Angeles, California, expressed shock at the revelations. Neighbors generally knew a family lived in the home, but they were rarely seen. Kimberly Milligan, again being quoted by another news source, saying, "I couldn't pick them out of a lineup," who has lived across the street from the family for more than 2 years. Ms. Milligan described the parents as standoffish. The revelations, Ms. Milligan said, answer the questions I had, which is why didn't I see the kids? 12 kids. I think you'd hear them in the backyard. I never heard them. Wendy Martinez, age 41, lives nearby and said she last saw members of the family in October. Four of the siblings working in the yard. She said hello, but they didn't acknowledge her, and she thought that was odd. "I'm speechless, knowing something so ugly could be happening in your own backyard." Ricardo Ross, age 55, can see the home's backyard from his two-story home, and still, he never saw any children. He said it could happen anywhere, but it's very shocking because everybody here, when we see each other, we talk. Betty Turpin, David Turpin's mother, was equally shocked. She told CNN the entire family routinely went on vacations together and had passes to Disneyland. The kids all dressed alike when they went out for protective reasons, she said. They were very protective of the kids. This is a highly respectable family. Hospital officials say the siblings appear to be friendly and cooperative and hopeful that their lives will now get better. They are stable. They are being fed, said Mark Uffer, CEO of Corona Regional Medical Center. They are in a very safe and secure environment. You know, very strange, very odd. You know, I mean, folks, as we just go through this, I mean, it's just bizarre. The story continues to be updated every time we go back through every one of these media reports on this individual story. And you have to give the media credit when something, and this is horrific, okay? When you give the media credit where credit is due, They're trying their best, whether it's CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, the Washington Post, the New York Times, Yahoo News. Have even picked up information. Some of what you have read came off of wire reports from Reuters, came out of places as diverse as things like the India Times. Just, you know, bare snippets here. Bits and pieces. Not everything you're listening to as we talk to you about this on Voice of the People Radio is coming from a single source. And that's the way it should be. You know, if you had major news coverage of, let's say, the Trump administration, the way that all of the media, the image-based media, as it is, an image-based media, whether they're reporting on a tragedy like these children, and thankfully, this is a situation where none of the children have died from being tortured, from being malnourished, from being mistreated, from being, you know, it's not as far as, you know, so far, and I say that with hope that so far none of these children died. It is not always the case. If the mainstream media treated the politics, the Trump administration, the situation that's going on in North Korea, the situation with the International Olympic Committees, with various things, including the North South Korea thing and the Russian Olympic teams not being able to participate in the Winter Olympics, if that was all covered the way they cover the starved children in California, then we wouldn't have a lot to complain about on United Public Radio Network or Voice of the People Radio and the other shows that are on the station. And I know not everybody on the station is going to agree with me. That's okay. You know, but if they covered the political situation in the United States, including the way that the foreign media has been treating this story, when, you know, when something goes horribly wrong, they tend to get it where it's who, what, where, when, why, how. You know, and there's another one in there, which, you know, would be included. But and that's the modern internet version would be an abbreviation of WTF, which is what this follows under. So you would have who, what, when, where, why, and how, and WTF in your modern newspaper article as would be published on an internet site, whether it's a site published by Voice of the People Radio, whether it's a review or an article published by United Public Radio Network, whether it's just some comment that we put up about the situation on Facebook. It's being published to somebody's website somewhere. But if it were covered as objectively as it is, when there is, you know, a hunger not only from these children who are being starved, but a hunger for truth, for accurate and adequate amount of information about the ongoing situation, then we wouldn't be suffering in the situation that we have as a country the past couple of years during this divisive presidential campaign, election, and aftermath. If the media covered everything that was going on with the entire political ballgame and the socioeconomic ballgame like they have covered, when you have parents who have starved and shackled 13 children to beds in their homes because they were supposedly being homeschooled, their home was supposed to be the best environment for them. And it's, you know, if the child endangerment cases, you know, like this, if everything else was handled the same way something like this was handled, think of how much better the country would be. Think of, like, the president would actually be freaking happy because he would actually be given a chance by the media and by the people to actually follow through on a simple campaign slogan like making America great again. You know, if it was done with the same focus as it would be if there was a slogan for this child endangerment case, it would be making America dinner again. You know, making these 13 kids dinner again. It's the only positive thing I end up reading, other than the fact that none of these children died. And yes, I can sit here and I'm old enough to say that 13 siblings aging, ranging in age from 2 to 29 are children for me. You know, and I could say none of them died. Thank God none of them died. You know, if there was a focus on that, you know, then you could have something. There could have a campaign like making these children dinner again. You know, it's that simple. And you look at it, if everyone looked at what the president was doing, and the president came out and he said making this family dinner again would be his slogan. You know, that wouldn't be openly mocked like the slogan that he uses about making America great again. Just saying, you know, if he was given as much of a benefit of the doubt as would be given to the media coverage for something where people do something absolutely horrific, like chaining and starving their children. It's just, you know, it's just nuts. You know, and check it out for yourself. Don't believe everything I say, but check it out for yourself. Go be sick and do some research. Go to websites like sky.com and look, and then you'll find, and there'll be video, and you'll see the faces of the children are blurred out for their own protection. Now there's a ongoing criminal investigation in the case, and you see the people with the self-serving do-it-yourself media coverage afforded to them by things like YouTube, social media, image-based consciousness belief system. And question things. If you know that the family across the street from you has 12 or 13 kids, and you don't see them outside playing, you know, talk to people. Engagement can lead to an alternative, you know, other than endangerment. You know your neighbors, man. This is a very high emphasis point for, you know, most people don't know who your next door neighbors are. This is, you know, this ought to be a shot in the arm for communities across the United States. Know your neighbors. Get out, meet your neighbors. Make an effort. Go down, you know, have a street party in the summer when it comes around. I know everybody's freezing right now. It's the middle of January. It's cold. Even on the Gulf Coast, we're freezing, you know. People be having shrimp sickles. But get to know your neighbors, you know. That's what it takes. If there was something where this was being done, you know, and questions, it's okay to ask. If somebody would have asked, then one little girl would not have to jump out of a window and go call 911. You know, what's going on with what's the situation?
I don't know. Aliens.
Sorry. You know, of course, several friends of the station, you know, say, what would
aliens
do this? Yeah, we could see that the internet memes are already going to pop up. Why did people abuse their 13 kids? Ancient alien astronauts made them do it, right? I mean, come on. It's unreasonable, you know. Cute is one thing. You know, having your 12 kids dressed up in Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat t-shirts that say, you know, I'm thing one, and the other kids, I'm thing number 13. You know, that's all well and good and great. But something very dark and bad happened in this situation. And it's just disgusting. You know, so as this develops, we'll probably have some kind of an update coming up on Saturday's Voice of the People radio. I don't know. It's just really, really bizarre. And it really makes you think, you know. That's all I could say. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Joe, back in Studio Control, for putting up with all of this. I mean, I'm more concerned about the mental health of these people with the 13 kids than I am Donald Trump's mental health, having been given thumbs up by a doctor. You know, and I think the president might actually, you know, agree with me that at this point, you know, making these kids dinner again would be more important than looking at it. But, you know, doing small things that stop things like this, and going back to it, I think part of it is that state of California, which has no way to enforce rules for homeschooling. But yet the state of California wants the other 49 states of the union to do as California does. You know, it's very close to them saying that, you know, do as the state of California says to do, or otherwise you're going to be in trouble. Well, I don't know that the other 49 states would want to follow suit with the state of California in this case, because look what happens when the only thing that happens is you may or may not have a fire inspection, and you can have kids supposedly being homeschooled, and the parents can perpetrate something like this. With that being said, tune in to us on Saturday afternoon. If you have any questions or comments, we are going to be available for you once again from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on United Public Radio Network with Voice of the People Radio. Any questions or comments, or you don't want to hate me, go ahead and send me the email at Voice of the People Radio, all one word, Voice of the People Radio at gmail.com. Thank you for listening, because without you, the listening audience, there is no Voice of the People Radio. And have a great night, everybody. Hey, Joe, we should be clear.